Back to another episode of the Draft on Draft podcast. As always, it's Corey Kennan and James Foster here, and for your usual Friday episode, we're breaking down the slate and some emerging players to keep an eye on here. Don't worry if you are just now listening to this podcast, then you haven't missed anything yet. If you aren't a fan of New Mexico State, Liberty, Arkansas State, Florida International, the list of small schools goes on. But there are some decent games here on this Friday night. Going through here to discuss. So, James, you ready to dive into this?
Yeah, I mean, there's three games really to keep an eye on starting right now. So, too late to warn you if you're listening to this podcast, but Miami-Louisville kicking off.
Yes. So, let's dive right into this thing. Louisville-Miami. This is typically a good game. Like, Miami, like, Louisville almost caught him last week. Or last year, I'm sorry. Almost caught him last year. So we'll see what happens here. I like the matchup on paper. I think we could see some fireworks.
What do you think about this? Dafter draft. Miami has the first player selected at two positions.
Edge and
offensive line.
Moe Noah. I think I'd probably, today I would draft that, I think. I think I'd draft it today.
I saw Reuben Bain was, I think, ninth on Mel Kiper's rankings. And I don't say that to, like, you know, shit on Mel Kiper, which, like, everybody loves to do. But I think it's a lot of times can be a reflection of, you know, what the NFL thinks, which, you know, so if there's a big diversion from the consensus on one of those, rankings, I always pay attention to that. So that's interesting to me. You know, he's a guy with shorter arms. I think he is a good athlete. Obviously, the production is tremendous, and like he's my number one player. But wouldn't surprise me if there were certain NFL teams that were a little bit lower on him. It just takes one team, though.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Keldrick Falk, the age, production, length, explosiveness. Yep. Like you could easily see a team going for that for sure. We've even talked about Arvell Reese quite a bit as well. I mean, I guess he's not an edge, but somebody might view him as an edge. But yeah, in this game, we're going to get Chris Bell. We're going to get CJ Daniels, Carson Beck. There's a lot to watch for here. Any in particular head-on-head or head-to-heads you're looking forward to in this one?
As far as head-to-heads, I'm not sure, but I would also shout out Rene Conga, the Louisville defensive tackle, who I really liked his tape so far. Ryan Roberts shouted him out to me, so I've been paying attention to him. This will be a good high-quality competition matchup for him.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I wasn't too thrilled with this tape last week, but I've been kind of tracking along as well. Nebraska-Minnesota. Especially in this running back class, man, I kind of like Emmett Johnson. Have you watched any Emmett Johnson?
Okay, I need to get eyes on him.
He's a decent player.
He's not even on my sheet.
5'11", 200 pounds. So, he rushed for like 174 yards last week, too. So, decent player there. Again, trench players for Nebraska, pretty hard to come by. I'm not an Elijah Pritchett guy.
I've got a long list. I'm riding up to Bloomington tomorrow morning, so I've got a long list of like players that I need to download tape on to watch. Nice. So I'll check them out tomorrow.
I love it. From Minnesota's perspective, Anthony Smith, is really the one to talk about here. So
I like
from
him
an NFL
amount,
yeah,
he's kind of like he is sort of in that Brandon Dorlus kind of tier that's a little bit scary, where it's like, are you explosive enough to win the high side as an edge? Probably not. And then are you big enough to hold up on the interior? Probably not. So how does that, you got to be really elite at a specified skill set. But I think Anthony Smith's tape has been impressive this year.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. I thought Ohio State, Austin Seerfeld did a really good job in that game against him, but otherwise I would tend to agree. North Carolina Cal. Dude, North Carolina's barren.
Yeah.
Very barren. Cal's got the defensive backs. Mm-hmm. Massey's.
Yeah. Hezekiah Massey's, he leads the FBS by like 9% in the percentage of his snaps that are in press coverage. I think I checked like a couple days ago, it was like 84% or something. And the next highest was 75 or 76 or something. So it's very similar to, just, you know, every Cal cornerback that is going to be playing on the right side of the field, depending on how you look at it. You know, yeah.
Of all of the things contextually to look at over the past two drafts, the amount of secondary talent that Cal has had drafted is funny, in the context, in the grand scheme of things. Moving into Saturday, LSU Vanderbilt is the big noon kickoff game here. We'll see Nussmeier in action again. Again, I said it coming into the season, and it's kind of played out, but like, is there anything that Nuss can do that would raise his ceiling for you at all? Like, I just feel like we've already capped out where we're at with him.
No.
Like, he's a mid-round quarterback.
Right. It's basically like, how good of a mid-round quarterback prospect are you?
Yeah, I would agree. And I should also bring up that we spent a lot of time talking about, like, the size of Josh Hoover and Trinidad Chambliss on this podcast. Garrett Nussmeier is only also 6 feet tall and 200 pounds. And we don't talk about that enough, I don't think.
And he's also the worst athlete in this class. Like, over the last 2 years, the only draftable quarterback who hasn't eclipsed 16 miles an hour, which, like, everybody does it once, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's that. From a Vandy perspective, again, it's just Eli Stowers, who just has not had the year that I think people expected him to have, especially in that offense. You would have expected him to get force-fed a lot more than he has been thus far. But we're getting to crunch time for Eli Stowers here to kind of pick up the pace a little bit.
Have you paid attention to the defensive end since the Bama game?
Cordae Sidnor?
Yeah.
No, I didn't watch last week. They might have had a bye last week. I don't even remember. Who did Vanderbilt play?
I'll always be checking into LSU defense to pay attention to Mansoor Delane. Had another really good performance last week.
Mm-hmm.
Vanderbilt's I don't know.
Yeah. No, they didn't have a game last week.
Attack.
Right. I don't hate Junior Sherrills. I don't think he's going to declare the Vanderbilt wide receiver. I don't hate Junior Sherrills, though, so I think that could be a fun matchup to watch there in that one as well. All right. Georgia Tech Duke. I like Keelan Rutledge a little bit. I think he's a day three player. But they've got the Williams kid up front for Duke to keep an eye on there as well.
Vincent Anthony doesn't really slide inside. The edge has kind of cooled off.
Mm-hmm.
Started out really hot. Like Illinois, like we kind of said, JC Davis is going to be on a lot of people's resumes, and really the Illinois offensive line. And we saw that again with Arvell Reese, not to discount anything from him. But since that game, Vincent Anthony hasn't really done a whole lot. I do really like Brian Parker, the tackle who is probably a center in the NFL.
Or center, yeah.
Yeah. Technically sound, just an elite run blocker this year.
Yep. All right.
And then the other guy I would mention for Georgia Tech is Eric Rivers, who is mm-hmm. is one of the fastest players in this class. And I've checked out some of his tape. Haynes King overthrows him a ton when he's wide open. So his production is pretty average, but he is actually like getting open, and there's some missed opportunities there.
Yeah. Washington, Michigan, Denzel Boston here. Michigan doesn't really have Jair Hill is technically a draft candidate.
What are your thoughts on Denzel Boston?
His profile scares me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was big on Keon Coleman, and now I'm like any big-bodied wide receiver who doesn't separate super well. It's like, I don't know if I want to mess with this again. And Denzel Boston kind of fits that mold. I think Denzel Boston's a little shiftier than maybe we give him credit for. I mean, he's returning punts for them as well. So I think there is a little bit more juice there to him. But like, again, he's probably a 4.55 athlete, 4.56 athlete. But like he's a 4.56 athlete where Carnell Tate's probably a 4.52 athlete. But I think that Carnell Tate's a more natural separator than him.
Okay. So I feel like there's a much bigger gap between Carnell Tate's speed and Denzel Boston's speed. Like I feel like Carnell Tate has, I would go 4.47, 4.48 for Carnell Tate.
It's not terribly off from a 4.5.
And then for Denzel Boston, I'd go like 4.56.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I could get there.
But then compared to Keon Coleman, like I think Denzel Boston is he's a much more advanced route runner, and I think he's smoother changing directions, but there is that lack of burst that is pretty similar.
Yeah, yeah. Derek Moore versus Drew Azapardi. I'm not incredibly high on either of those players. Yeah.
But this is a great running back matchup, even though we got playing each other, matched
up. Coleman, Justice Haynes. Jayshon Barham coming off the edge again here, just another edge game here. He's playing pretty well, man, for just like deciding midway through his last season to like, I'll rush the passer.
I would take Barham over Derek Moore.
Yep, I would too. I would too. He's got some legitimate juice out there. Nice speed to power profile.
Speaking of Azapardi, not like he's some great prospect or anything, but it is kind of interesting. San Diego State seems to be like a tackle transfer factory. Because didn't Josh Simmons?
Josh Simmons.
And then there were like they have Christian Jones, I think, who's a prospect this year, and then they had another one in the transfer portal. It seems like it's very common that I see tackles that transferred from San Diego State for whatever reason.
Yeah. It is very interesting. Very interesting. All right. Next up, Arizona Houston. Again, we've touched on a couple of Arizona defensive backs this past week, and Genesis Smith and Traydon Stukes. Mm-hmm. Houston, good luck finding something there.
I don't want to call out anybody by name, but I can tell you some people on Houston's roster that will not get drafted.
Yeah,
it's their right tackle and left tackle after watching Texas Tech. But actually, I kind of feel that way after every time I watch somebody play Texas Tech. So probably being too hard on them. But
yeah, those defensive ends are a little unfair. They made Spencer Fano and Caleb Lomu look like that too. All right.
Has Malachi Bailey for Arizona done anything?
He did early in the season, not so much coming in later into the season, no. But again, these are the tackles, or if you want to have another statement game, this might be a good time to do it.
Yeah.
Baylor TCU. Another game where it's like, is this just the Robertson Hoover show? Just a fun Big 12 football game?
Yeah. I think Michael Trigg, despite the concerns, I just think with how bereft of talent this tight end class is, Michael Trigg is a very intriguing option because, I mean, he can pluck the ball. I will say for somebody with his length, the blocking was very disappointing. Basically, every single run blocking rep was a slice block or a pull, and it was kind of just like get in the way. So yeah, he's a receiving weapon for sure. But I mean, he can really like break a quick slant, run some crisp routes. So impressive receiver for sure.
Really good length at the catch point as well. Very impressive. Baylor receivers. Josh Cameron is getting a little bit of hype. The one who wears 32, 34 out there. He's a decent player. He's also their kick returner, so he's a good return specialist for them too. Eric McAllister had another big game last week. He's done it twice now where he's had monster games for TCU. I want to keep seeing if Josh Huber can kind of stat games. He didn't have a great game last week against K-State. So he was building up momentum, and they had a little bit of a rough game last week against K-State. So we'll see. I mean, everybody's dropping 30 on Baylor, so he should have a good opportunity to have a bounce back game here too. Oklahoma, South Carolina, the Mateer Sellers show here, both in need of a bounce back game. That defensive line for Oklahoma against that South Carolina offensive line. Again, we've talked about it a lot this week, but like at some point, Cam, who's in my Discord, pointed it out a little bit. Like he did it against Clemson a little bit last year, right? Where he elevated his team in a game where they didn't match up on paper well, and they won that game. We haven't seen it this year, and it's been like it was pretty rare last year. Like at some point, the quarterback has to elevate his team. Like it has to take over, has to be the big dog. Especially if it's a quarterback that we're talking about taking first overall. Like you have to at some point elevate the guys around you.
I agree, especially compared to what you know, the other quarterbacks at the top of this class have done. And it's not like they've knocked it out of the park, but they've at least all had moments. You know, where they've kind of shown what they can be. With Lenora Sellers, it still feels like even as good performances, sometimes you come away having to squint to really see it.
Yeah, it's like 13 pass attempts or something like that. Right. It's like, well, what are we doing here? Not a comp-wise here, but like the squint to see it part. It's like J.J. McCarthy a little bit, where it's like, this guy went first round and they asked him to throw the ball like 12 times a game down the stretch. Like in every big game, all he did was turn around and hand the ball to Blake Corum 30 times a game. That's kind of a different story, but all right. Ohio State, Wisconsin. Wisconsin's another team that's pretty decimated in terms of talent.
Yeah.
Did you see the clip over the weekend where, again, they're down 30-0 by the end of the third quarter against Iowa, right? And the fourth quarter tradition in Madison comes around. They play jump around, right, on the loudspeakers. Not a single person on the Wisconsin sidelines jumping, dude. And that felt like such a nail in the coffin for Luke Fickell there.
Yeah.
It's just like... brutal. Ohio State's 25.5 point favorites in this game.
I have 12 Ohio State players with draftable grades and 0 Wisconsin players with draftable grades.
Yeah. I liked Rico Hallman a little bit last year, but I'm not interested in turning on Wisconsin tape right now. So,
I know Ohio State should really have a good day. Vinny Anthony, the Wisconsin receiver. He has some good speed, so I think he could be like a day three pick.
So there's a little bit of a little test for Jermaine Matthews, if you will.
Yeah.
Michigan State, Indiana, the same way. I've punted Aiden Childs till 2027 altogether.
It's been rough.
He might need to get out of there. I know his allegiance to Jonathan Smith, but he might need to go to a program that has some talent around him. Indiana, same thing.
Contract.
What?
Kurt Cignetti, new contract.
Oh, yeah, he did. Big time today. Good on him for capitalizing on the Penn State stuff, for sure.
Yeah.
The Florida stuff. But Indiana's 27.5 point favorites.
I saw a tweet. He's gotten like basically a contract extension every year the past 6 years. And his income has gone from like 600K, just linear growth, up to 11 mil.
Good for him, man.
Yeah.
Good for him. He's easy to root for. I know he's kind of a dick, but like he's easy to root for.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I will say, and you know, take my Indiana opinions with a grain of salt, I guess, but when he first got the job, you know, Indiana is just such a loser program that he was really talking shit to the Indiana like fan base and just people that were pessimistic and trying to get them excited. And like this year he hasn't really done any of that, because that's not really who he is. So I think it was kind of just a one-time thing that I wouldn't expect to really continue.
Yeah. Mendoza has a chance to keep stacking here. Surratt, Omar Cooper have a chance to have big games again.
I would love a big, like, high-volume production game from Mendoza, you know?
Yeah.
And not, like, 230 yards efficient, you know, got in there and got out, like, really, you know, put it on, just and kind of show off some all the different throws that he's capable of making. Because I just feel like there's stuff that he can do that he hasn't had to do yet.
Right. Like last year on his Cal tape, like there's glance posts all over his tape. I don't think I've seen him throw a single glance post this year.
Right.
Like
the middle of the field stuff, I thought was one of my favorite things about Mendoza was the middle of the field anticipation, and that's not a huge part of Indiana's offense.
And these guys are just running so open too.
Right.
And like,
yeah,
as long as the
other thing is I don't say that as a criticism necessarily, mm-hmm. because you know I've said before half of Indiana's games have been like, you know, glorified walkthroughs in terms of how much separation there is. So it's like, why complicate it? Just throw it up to Surratt in the red zone, you know?
Right. But it is just a lot of RPO speed outs, RPO mm-hmm. speed out, RPO speed out, RPO speed out. So you would like to see a little more nuance there. But again, as long as they're ahead of the sticks, that's all they're going to keep doing. So it's probably going to be the same thing this game as well. So,
Are there any other Indiana prospects that have caught your eye besides Cooper, who we've talked about?
Yeah, so I really thought that Aiden Fisher was just like your stereotypical mean white linebacker who didn't really have NFL traits, but like mm-hmm. I'm really starting to dig Aiden Fisher. Like he's a physical player. He's got a little bit more pop in his lower half than I thought he did, triggering downhill. Like, and then he's a really good tackler. So like Aiden Fisher's kind of moving me a little bit, but he does have a year of eligibility left, and he does kind of seem like the kind of guy that pledges allegiance to Kurt Cinetti, so I would be shocked if he left early, you know, so because he's been with them through JMU all the way through IU, so I would be shocked if he declared, but like Aiden Fisher looks like a legitimate NFL linebacker to me, and not just like these, like the Clemson linebacker stereotype from years ago, right, the James Stalski types was like, these guys are awesome college players, but there's no shot they're playing in the NFL, but like, I see some legitimate NFL explosiveness for Aiden Fisher.
He seems like the type of player to me that gets drafted in the sixth round or something, but then is like immediately a starter.
Who's the Oklahoma State kid the Lions drafted a couple years
Rodriguez,
ago?
Rodriguez, Malcolm Rodriguez.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that kind of type. Obviously,
like,
Amari Farrell, but
the Buffalo kid,
Sean Golak. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned Amari Farrell needs to stop blowing some coverages here. This would be a great week to capitalize because Childs has ramped back up, putting the ball in harm's way quite a bit here down the stretch. So we'll see what happens there. But Texas A&M in Arkansas.
This will be a fun one.
It will be. It will be.
There's a lot.
I'm excited.
There's a lot to go. Even though Arkansas is not that great, mm-hmm. they've got a couple players that I'm interested in. And Texas A&M has a ton of players that I like.
Yeah, and you know Julian Neal is a corner that you've brought up off air. He's definitely on scouts' radars because after you brought him up, I texted a scout, and the scout's like, "Yeah, he's one of the favorite players, my favorite players in this area, in his area." So he's got his hands full this week for sure with Mario Craver and Casey Concepcion. Have you been keeping up with David Oki at all? Like, he's playing very sparingly.
No, yeah, so, that's what I was going to say, is I've checked, you know, his box score and seen that he hasn't played, so sometimes I see him in the game when I'm watching Quincy Rhodes, but I haven't really, I've kind of not given up on him as, I've given up on him as a guy that I'm going to be watching a ton this year. I don't know if he has eligibility, but assuming he's in the class, I'll watch him, but not somebody that I'm, like, prioritizing keeping up with on a week-to-week basis.
I mean, I don't think he has any eligibility left because his freshman season at...
He's of 2022.
And he's played ever since he was a true freshman.
Okay, so
he played
this is his year.
10 games as a freshman, so yeah. But yeah, he hasn't played since the Notre Dame game. He played 31 snaps. He has decent grades except in pass rush, which is odd because that's what he did at Abilene Christian. But he's played 3 games this year, 62 total snaps, no sacks, no pressures. So, not great. But, again, if he does play and we do get to see some vintage David Oki, then Chase Bezontis is a guard that we're both pretty high on. Mm-hmm. I think he's one of the best guards in the class. That's not, again, saying much for this guard class in general, but his pass pro stuff is really good. It's really good. So that's something to keep an eye on. I'm trying to think if Texas A&M doesn't really, I mean, if you like Trey Zune, you could watch Trey Zune versus Quincy Rhodes, but this is a game that Quincy Rhodes should get back on the map if he wants to get back on the map, because Trey Zune has 30-inch arms. So, yeah. We're talking twilight hours for Quincy Rhodes as a 2026 guy too. So now or never.
Yep. Also got Demetrius Crownover, who is the most like looks like he's gonna be somebody prospect, but then there's just nothing there.
Nothing there.
Former tight end as a recruit, he's now 6'6", 335 pounds, 35.5-inch arms. He has the highest athletic score in my database from the tracking, and he will maul people in the run game simply by just leaning into them.
Yeah.
It's one of the strangest things to watch. It's pretty effective for college, but not like an early draft pick at all.
Right. Right. So again, Bezantis, I think, is the one on that. People like Trey Zune as a guard prospect, and I get it, but Bezantis truther over here. Oh, right. Ole Miss, Georgia. That's the 3:30 headliner there. We've talked a lot about Georgia's defense just being also kind of devoid outside of Christian Miller and CJ Allen.
Speaking of Mel Kiper, did you see Mel Kiper had Zachariah Branch 23rd on his big board?
What I struggle with is, like, at what point do we stop just like elevating these very small, shifty, yak-only receivers because they never pan out at the NFL level?
Yeah,
like the highly drafted ones.
You could do anything with him, except like run a real route tree.
Yes, like, I mean, Elijah Moore doesn't fit this mold because he ran legitimate routes at Ole Miss, but like Kadarius Toney, Rondale Moore, like the list goes on and on of these guys that we've tried to make happen, and it doesn't work. I think Zachariah Branch is in that same mold there. Again, CJ Allen, Christian Miller.
Yep. Dalen Everett feels like it. Like had some, he had a lot of nice reps in this past week. He also got beat a lot. He's more of a D3 guy.
It feels like every Georgia corner just has awful ability to find the football in the air.
Yeah.
Tyson Campbell, Keely Ringo, Dalen Everett. Like, none of these guys have ball skills. It's funny.
I need to see if they have like a Georgia DB clinic and see what they're teaching them. Maybe they just don't rep it.
That's funny.
All right. CJ Allen and Christian Miller, those are the two day two grades that I have for this game.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's really it. Again,
have you watched Xavier Harris, the Ole Miss defensive tackle?
Yeah, he's really explosive, but not a lot of savvy outside of that. He's also one of those players that's going to have some questions from teams in interviews. Cool. So we'll see how that goes. Again, I think I've said it on this podcast before, but there's no player in the country who makes me more angry watching them than Diego Pound as well. Because like, if you just look at Diego Pound and then you see the way he moves when he kicks, you're like, that guy should be a first round pick. There's no reason that guy should be a first round pick. And then he's awful at everything else. Like his hands are awful. His balance is terrible. It's like, he doesn't move anybody in the run game. It's like, but he looks like that and he moves like that. I so desperately want him to be good because he looks the part, but yeah, it's frustrating. SMU Clemson, Cade Klubnik's apparently not playing in this game. I've seen that Vezina has taken most of the snaps in practice this week. So that's interesting. Did you watch Klubnik last week by chance?
Cade Klubnik?
Yeah.
I didn't watch the past week, but I think I've watched every game but one of his this year.
Okay. It's stabilizing a little bit. He's never going to reach the heights of the first round talk ever again, but the floor, at least he's like reconstructing a floor, I think, which is good to see. Clemson is favored by 5.5 points in this game.
I would probably take Clemson. Yeah.
Yeah. If Vezina's playing, I might take SMU here. But SMU's been
Antonio down Williams this year. Is kind of getting back on track after the injury. Had a nice game against Boston College. I'm still always watching Clemson's defense because, like we've said, despite how disappointing they've been, Avion Terrell has actually performed better than I expected, and Peter Woods, I think, has been just, you know, a slight disappointment. TJ Parker has been a pretty big disappointment, though.
Huge disappointment, yeah. I didn't come into the season super high on him, and I didn't like his tape last year, but I think Blake Miller is actually playing some pretty decent football right now, too.
Okay. Yeah, I need to catch up on him. I wasn't really like paying attention to individual offensive linemen the last few games that I was watching, but he's a great athlete. I mean, 35-inch arms, definitely see the NFL traits there, and I thought he had decent moments on tape last year for sure. Like I gave him a late third round grade heading into the season.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's playing pretty decent football. SMU has an edge rusher, last name Robertson. I can't think Cameron Robinson, Robertson. I think he's got a pretty high floor as like a base end, and he's also got some pass rush production over the past few weeks too. So he looks like a draftable player to me. I don't know how high, but he definitely looks like a draftable player to me as well for SMU.
I'll add him to the list as well.
All right. We're getting through this. The Texas Tech, Arizona State. We got Keith Adam being tested by Douglas and Eakin here.
I was thinking about in yesterday's episode when we were talking about championship contenders, I should have included Texas Tech in that tier because I think they're absolutely one of the teams to beat in college football.
I think so too. The only thing that scares me is I thought coming into the season and through the early part of the season that Baron Morton's floor was legitimately good. Like, but now there's some durability concerns going on and I'm not quite sure if the floor is as high as I thought it was.
That's fair.
So that kind of concerns me a little bit. Terrence Carter, man.
Yeah.
That's a player to watch in this game, especially in this tight end class as well. I think he has a legitimate chance to go day two. A little undersized, 6'3", 240. But I mean, he explodes. He moves in and out of his breaks really well. And he runs a full. He's not just like one of those slide tight ends who's just catching balls out in the flat and turning upfield. So I like that quite a bit.
Definitely. Yeah, I have him top 50. I've got him at 245. But yeah, same range. Actually, Keith Abney and Terrence Carter are 45 and 46 for me. And then David Bailey, 18. Jordan Tyson, 2. So four guys in the top 50 from this matchup.
Love it. I love it. Love it. All right. We're reaching the end of the big time things to talk about here. I mean, Mississippi State, Florida, I don't think there's really much to talk about in that game.
Tyrese
Oregon South Rutgers
has done nothing this year.
No. And Caleb Banks broke his foot. So, like, okay. Oregon Rutgers, again, I want to see the bounce back from Dante Moore. And it's Rutgers. Yeah. So, like, let's have a game. Let's go have a game. Like, I need to see it. So, that's what I'll be watching for in this one. Have you watched any Athan Kaliakmanis? There's some people really trying to talk about Athan Kaliakmanis right now.
Not in depth. I've watched a lot of Ian Strong, so I've kind of seen him adjacently, but you know, I think he's a decent college quarterback. What do you think about him?
Yeah. Yeah. Every time I'm like, oh yeah, I could get with this, he does something really stupid and then throws a pick and it's like, okay. So I'm still in the breaks. You know, if it'll be one of those players, like if Dane Brugler in January comes out and says, hey, people are talking about Athan Kaliakmanis, and I'll go back and chart him, but like, I'm not interested right now. Yeah. He'll be like a December guy that I get to charting. All right. Feels weird to skip over Texas, Kentucky, but we're going to because I don't really have a lot to talk about there. Penn State, Iowa. I don't know what to do with the Jennings Dunker conversation anymore, man. Like, I think we've been pretty firm that, like, we don't see a whole lot there from an NFL perspective, but he's still getting mocked first round, and I'm so confused as to why.
Yeah, I watched a ton of his tape over the summer, and definitely a little bit behind on it, but I do always see that he's top 10 on the PFF mock draft board, and I obviously respect Trevor's opinion a lot, so I need to go back and watch some of his tape from this past year, or from this year.
Yeah, so he'll get some shots against Deny Dennis Sutton and all of the other Penn State athletes up front there. Iowa's got Max Euland, so we might see Max Euland and Drew Shelton go at it a little bit here.
You know, after Penn State kind of came into the year as like one of the most on paper talented teams, I in this entire matchup, I only have one day two grade, and it's Zaki Wheatley. So it's everybody's kind of fallen off.
And that makes a lot of sense to me.
It brings up a broader point, which is that if I make a college football prediction from now on, I'm no longer going to care about people like returning starters and returning production. It's just whoever spent the most in the transfer portal to me.
Because
like
point,
Clemson
yeah.
and Penn State were the two teams that I thought were like, they're bringing everybody back. And they were they're like the built through recruiting teams that, you know, common sense seems to say would have the most consistent success, but it's not how it's turned out.
Yep. And Ohio State put together what, a $20 million roster last year and won a national title.
Yeah.
Ohio State returned a lot of players that year too. A lot of seniors came back.
Yeah, I mean Ohio State, I think like
that's a different beast.
I wouldn't categorize Ohio State as a transfer portal led team last year.
Yeah. All right. Tennessee, Alabama. That's a game that I will be watching pretty closely. Again, Chris Braswell, he needs another bounce back here. Every time I say, like, if he does it one more game, first round, we're in the conference. Like, I'm for sure we're all gas, no brakes, and it's like, oh, he didn't have a good game. So we'll see how he does this way. I mean, we did a after draft yesterday and talked about the Alabama defense, just like the lack of draft heavy talent. So specifically Domani Jackson as well, where he should have opportunities to make plays. Anything else?
I did see somebody on Twitter try to use ESPN box score to say that Bray Hubbard was better than Caleb Downs.
I saw that too.
So that opinion's out there, but
I saw that too. They didn't even have a blue check or anything. He was doing it for the love of the game.
Yeah. For, I wouldn't call it a bounce back game, but I think that Ty Simpson has a chance to kind of take command of the quarterback race. You know, if Dante Moore continues to struggle, I think Jermaine McCoy, it's looking more and more like he will just enter the draft, if I had to guess.
And just not suit up this year?
Yeah, because he was ruled out for this game after he was supposed to potentially come back for Arkansas. So that might be one where we just have to go off of last year's tape.
Yep. And if we do, he's a top five player. So especially in this class, I'm still rolling with that. So Jonathan Josephs versus Caden Proctor, I think, is a battle here, because I think Josephs has put together some pretty good tape. So this is definitely a resume game for Proctor.
Which Proctor is tough are we going to get? Because I feel like every single one of his tapes is like two or three elite plays and then just 38 snaps of nothing. So he's a great splash player, but not as much of a consistent high volume impact.
Mm-hmm. I was having this conversation with some friends earlier today in a group chat of like, who are the players throughout history? Like, if you only pulled their highlights, you would think they're the best player ever, but they actually weren't very good at all.
Right.
Like Deion Walker last year for Kentucky was one that came to my mind. Like, if you only showed Deion Walker's like highlights, you'd be like, yeah, that's the best player in the country. What are we doing here?
Yeah. like Will Johnson.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. All right. USC Notre Dame. Have you spent any time on Jaden Maiava yet?
Not too much. He's another guy that I probably need to get to because I see people hyping him up. He's just never stood out to me watching Mekhi Lemon and Jacoby Lane as like an NFL guy. But I do think he's probably the best that Lincoln Riley has had recently for his system, because I think he's really smart.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But I think you're spot on with the tools. He's playing really efficient football. Miller Moss has also played really efficient football for Lincoln Riley in stretches, and Miller Moss has no NFL tools whatsoever. And I think Jaden Maiava's got a better arm than Miller Moss, but I honestly don't know if it's by much. Like, there are times when it looks like the ball's been soaked in water before every play, that he's trying to throw like a waterlogged ball. And then he doesn't run particularly well either. It like looks laborious when he's trying to get out and move a little bit. Right. So I'll be a little more reserved on Maiava than we're seeing right now from some other people. But again, sometimes those backup tier guys, though, like if you just play efficient football, you can get drafted to do that. So we'll see what happens. Mekhi Lemon, Jacoby Lane, obviously. Leonard Moore is not draft eligible this year, but honestly, probably the best corner that Mekhi Lemon will have faced this season.
Yes.
So this is a good resume game for Mekhi Lemon, who doesn't honestly need any more resume games, but this could be the final stamp, the final nail in the coffin of his draft stock of like, yeah, okay, whatever, we're good here.
Yeah, and Mekhi Lemon has kind of has proven himself as sort of two different types of players, I think, in the last two seasons. Last year, I was really impressed with his route tree and just how consistent of a separator he was on any kind of route. This year, he's running a much more basic route tree, and what you're really seeing is just how consistent of a yak threat he is, mm-hmm. where when he needs 2 yards from where he catches the ball, he's consistently getting 3. Like I did a breakdown on him, and he's averaging, I think it was 6.4 yak per reception just on hitch routes. So it's just really consistent additional production. And then he's also been dominant at the catch point in a way that he was really dependable last year, but he wasn't this level of just throw it up and he comes down with it. So he's shown the entire spectrum of what you want to see from a receiver.
Yeah, exactly. And we've touched on it in previous episodes of like, just look at the receivers who are winning at the NFL level. It's the Amon-Ra St. Browns. It's the Jackson Smith and Jigbas. It's the Emeka Egbukas. It's not these like 6'4", extremely long vertical playing receivers anymore. It's like, yeah, it's these guys who are going to run all through green grass and play with late hands and be as refined as they can be at the top of routes and things like that. That's what's working right now. So, all right. Missouri Auburn, we've got Damon Wilson and Zion Young against Xavier Chaplin. Again, it's almost curtain call for Xavier here. This might be it. Like, if you don't play well against Zion and Damon, it's like, all right, back to school, my friend. Yeah.
Caden Green.
Anything else?
For Missouri.
Caden Green. Mm-hmm.
Will be an interesting player to watch against Keldrick Folk.
Yep.
That's almost more intriguing than the opposite matchup, you know?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm going to pull up Caden Green's stuff from last week and see what we got here. Against Alabama, gave up one pressure.
I continue to be just underwhelmed by Eric Singleton Jr. I feel similarly about him as I do Zachariah Branch, except he's kind of just the deep threat version.
Yep. I agree. Especially in a class where we're talking about Chris Bell, who last year, like the opposite of Mekhi Lemon, last year's like, this dude can explode after the catch. This guy can explode like on manufactured touches. And now this year he's ripping off, I mean, he ripped off a lot of outs and comebacks last year, but like he's ripping off every single route you could want. He's making every single play. Like, so yeah, these like one trick ponies. I'm not into it. I'm not into it. All right. We got Utah BYU. If you're into some rivalry games here.
That's a good one.
Yeah. LJ Martin is the BYU player that I continue to want to come back to. He's just like very strong through contact. Just strong through contact. Just a very sturdy running back. He's not overly explosive, but he will rip off chunks. He knows how to find green grass. So again, he's another guy in a weak running back class. Like, why don't we talk about LJ Martin a little bit more here as well? So.
Yeah, he stood out to me earlier in the year. I haven't circled back to him from the past few weeks, but good to hear that he's still going off. the guy that you mentioned last week, John Henry Daly, edge rusher for Utah. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to watch him again. I really like his blend of power and mm-hmm. speed as a pass rusher.
Yep, I agree. And again, as we keep talking about weak offensive tackle classes, we're going to have all eyes on the offensive tackles here. And even though I couldn't name you a BYU pass rusher, like my eyes are still going to be on Lomu and Fano here. Like we need some tackle help, please, somebody. So that's kind of what we're looking at there. Cincinnati, Oklahoma State. I don't know if I want to talk about anything else here other than just like Brennan Sorsby. I'm going to drop a quarterback up like a midseason update on my quarterback rankings tomorrow on my Substack. And Brennan Sorsby is going to come in pretty high. I like the tools a lot, man. He's got a prototypical body type as well, 6'3", 230. So like he's probably more like 6'2", 220, but like those schools lie, right? But he's got a really flexible arm. He can throw from any arm slot. It's got velocity. He can generate RPMs. He can use his legs. Like, but my biggest gripe with him is that like everything is so inefficient, and then he explodes for like a 60-yard bomb. Inefficient, then he explodes for a 60-yard bomb. It's just like, I want to see more consistency down to down and like a more just like this game feels like jazz, right? Like every note is playing off one another instead of like this like jagged performance. And there's like, oh, wait, but that draws you back in, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. I will also shout out. Well, first of all, I think Brennan Sorsby stood out over the summer, similarly to how you're describing him. So I'm excited to get into his tape from this past year. But Joe Royer has actually kind of stood out this year, I think.
Like, okay.
He ran a couple nice routes last week. He looks a lot more explosive than I kind of initially expected. So I'm willing, open to giving him a second look, especially because it seems like a lot of people seem to be really high on him.
Yeah. Dane has him as his tight end too this year, so
yeah,
definitely worth keeping an eye on there. Cool. And then that's really going to be it of what we can talk about here. The last big game of the night is that 10:30 game between Florida State and Stanford. But again, I'm not talking about anybody at Stanford. And off the top of my head, there's nobody from Florida State that is like, yeah, I really need to talk about that guy. I know Earl Little Jr., the safety, had some really good tape early in their season, but I haven't tapped back into that recently. And Florida State
started
kind of
missing a bunch of tackles.
Yeah. So there we go. Daryl Jackson is just not a player that I'm really into, man. Like,
he just doesn't produce.
No. Looks like $1 million, but. Yeah, so that's another game. I mean, I guess Deuce Robinson and Colin Wright would be the one thing maybe to keep an eye on in this game. But
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else you want to hit on here?
I think that's it.
I feel good, too. All right, well, enjoy the slate of football. We'll be back giving out helmet stickers, talking about whatever went down when we come back next week. But until then, this has been another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. See ya. We'll